Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Yeah, you're right. This is a pretty sick Ween Wednesday.
What can you do? She's powder blue.
Doug, 5,582 Americans are members of the TMA fan page on Facebook.
And you're not one of them.
Well, that's enough. They don't need me. You got plenty.
And one of them just posted, "So I asked the wife to attend Hot Shots this Thursday, and she declined, then proceeded to tell me how stupid the show is. So I was wondering who's going to be attending."
Well, I'm on her side.
And Jennings, I see you asked how are feet.
I just wanted to check, just make sure. I mean, because we are giving away Jason Aldean tickets.
Right. For Foot Fetish Friday.
Yep.
A lot of people would love to go to that show, Doug. And, you know, all you're going to do is just ask women questions about, you know,
history.
History, essentially.
Right.
How they feel about passionate kisses.
Right. Simple questions.
And then rub their feet a little bit.
Well, right. That could be the rub.
You think that might lead some ladies not to come?
Right. Where's the concert? Scott Trade or?
That's probably at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater, I would imagine.
Yeah, I would have to think.
That'll be a big crowd for that one, I'm sure.
Rick Hummel's going to join us here in about, I've got it at 17 minutes, maybe 16 minutes. I don't know, okay?
All right. Well, that's a big deal.
We'll talk Cardinals and get you ready for the game against the Reds tonight.
Big one.
I don't know that I want to be that ready. I'm just going to take it as it comes.
Just tune in a little bit and see what's going on.
Yeah, kind of timidly look and say, is it okay to watch? Yeah, okay.
Maybe we should adopt another team like the Twins in honor of Janie the Lesbian.
I'm not going to do that.
They're in first place.
I don't care.
Tom Kelly has that club playing.
No, he hadn't been there for a long time, though.
Rod Carew is just getting going.
I think that's Gene Mauck's club.
The Cubs have won 5 in a row, which means the Cardinals are now 3.5 games out of first place, and the Cubs are tied with the Brewers. The Brewers' ship might start sinking here, as I think most people expected, mainly because of their pitching. They do have some good bats in that lineup. The Reds are now actually ahead of the Cardinals.
Yes.
And the Cardinals are a game out of last place. The last time the Cardinals finished in last place.
It was that really bad year they had. Boy, I remember that.
Is it back to Dory?
They just couldn't get ahead of any other teams in the division.
When was it, Doug?
I would say something around 1990.
Yeah. It's a club that came into the season with high expectations. Had a great comeback win over the Montreal Expos to open up the season at home with Delino DeShields and Marquise Grissom making their major league debuts. And Willie McGee got the walk-off base hit for the Cardinals. But, unfortunately, it was one of few too many victories for the Cardinals, and Whitey Herzog resigned in July.
Right, I remember that. Yeah.
70-92 was their record.
Well, if you haven't been in last place in, 27 years, that's probably a pretty good run. That's probably a pretty good run.
Well, but here's the dilemma. We have enjoyed great success, and like I said earlier, they've been able to kind of put it together and punch and Judy along the last couple of years without maybe the star power or as good a teams as they've had. But would you accept one or two poor years, one or two last place or second to last place years to try and rebuild to get back to where they were?
I would, yes.
I think a lot of people would.
I would, just because I don't look at what they have right now at the major league level being the championship caliber baseball players that we've seen lead to success around here over the last, 17 seasons. So that's my logic. I felt the same way in 2016, but I realize they're coming off a 100-win season, so you don't do that, but I just didn't think it was
as good a team as it was.
Right, because, again, you have assets. Inevitably, the rare thing that took place with the organization is that you essentially had the 2007 year, which was complicated by injuries. If you remember, they got their World Series rings, but the night before was Sunday Night Baseball to open the season, and Chris Carpenter got hurt, and that was really the beginning of the end on opening night. So they're getting their World Series rings from 2006, and they already had lost their ace. But with that team, it only served as about a one-year transition. I mean, mathematically, they didn't do anything in 2008, but they were, relatively speaking, competitive again for a playoff spot, wildcard spot, until the new run began in 2009. Usually a team will go on a run like you saw the Cardinals do from 2000 through 2006, and then you have
a lull.
I mean, the Philadelphia Phillies were, for my money, I still think they were the best team in baseball in 2011. The Cardinals beat them in five games in the NLDS, and then that began their lull, and they're still in the midst of rebuilding. But this has been a run where the Cardinals were able to really patch it together for the transition in a short amount of time. That is super unusual. And listen, I mean, I realize they're only 3.5 games out of first place, but the number that is most important is that they're 4 games under 500, and now the Reds are not a team that's above 500, but I think they're 10 games under 500 or 12 games under 500 against teams with winning records, and you're including, you know, a team like the Brewers, and there is a team with a winning record. So I don't necessarily see it, but I am truly intrigued by the season because I think a philosophical decision is going to have to be made by the organization as to what direction they want to go. Inevitably, a Johnny Peralta decision may be coming here really soon. That isn't the kind of decision I'm fascinated by. It's what could come in July where they will have to make a decision, I think, anyway, for what direction they want to go. We'll see what Rick Hummel has to say. He's going to join us in about 10 minutes. Meantime, Jerry Seinfeld, Doug, was on the red carpet.
Yeah, I saw that.
And he was doing an interview with, like, the Timmy Morning Show, which is a shame that it already exists, because I was going to rename this the Timmy Morning Show.
That was the name of it?
I think it was something like that. And Seinfeld was talking to the Timmy Morning Show, and the wonderful singer Kesha walked up to Jerry Seinfeld on the red carpet. Would you like to take a...
Sure, let's take a listen. Hit the lever, Plowsy.
It's hard to just sleep when you're tired, because people are tired most of the time.
Gosh, I love you so much.
Oh, thanks.
Can I give you a hug?
No, thanks.
Please?
No, thanks.
A little one.
Yeah, no, thanks.
Oh!
I don't know who that was.
Yeah, it was Kesha.
Okay, well, I wish her the best.
Wow, what a snub. I felt sorry for her.
Are you a big Kesha fan?
You are a Kesha guy.
You talk about her sometimes at the break.
No, she's okay. It's just that was kind of a big snub, no matter who it was.
Well,
I think there are
some people, Howie Mandel, President Trump, who don't like...
No touching.
Right.
Yeah.
And I Seinfeld might be in that same category. And so a stranger hits him up on the red carpet and wants to embrace, and that's not his thing. Plus, he was in the middle of an interview with the Timmy Morning Show.
Yeah, there was that. It was kind of...
Okay, well, I wish you the best.
Kind of rude.
Please make sure that's used often.
Kind of rude to interrupt an interview on her part, I guess.
Well, she was just taken, you know, she was so enthralled with Jerry, she wanted to hug him.
Right, right. Well, I guess he has... probably a whole lot of people who want to come up and hug him over the course of a day when he's out in public. So he probably just tells everybody no.
You know who also
still,
had
her,
the...
I mean, how do you walk away from that if you're her and without just being totally humiliated?
Well, she got big time. There's no question about
okay.
it.
Okay. Well, I wish her the best.
You know...
And then a who is that? Don't know her right at the end.
You're
she was
familiar...
as big as anybody about 6-7 years ago, wasn't she?
You're familiar with Elliot Davis.
Sure.
Yeah, you paid for it.
He doesn't like the handshaking either.
Is that right?
Yeah, I was with him one night at Union Station drinking and got up to shake his hand. Yeah, no shakes.
Mm. Fist bump or anything?
I think he probably would have done a fist bump. I was just taken aback about the no touching, and I said, see you later, Edie.
A little kissy-kissy, touchy-touchy.
Right. Doug Kesha, of course, had the song Tick Tock. Is that your favorite? TikTok.
It might be.
Plowhawk, you pull some Kesha for...
Yeah, that was huge. That was number one, wasn't it?
Jennings?
I think that was probably a number one hit.
Two. I think it was two.
It got the number two.
She's from Nashville, Doug.
And ordained minister.
Yep.
She is?
Yep.
No.
Oh,
yeah.
She is.
All you have to... You can apply for it online. I'm an ordained minister.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You could do a wedding or something?
When things were going really rough at the woman, I decided to try and do that. I'm serious. I've got the certificate.
Really? Have you ever married someone?
I have not yet.
Take a listen.
There she is. Bones, bones.
drunk, tapping, playing our favorite CDs, pulling up to the parties, trying to get a little bit this. Okay. Don't stop, make it pop. DJ, blow my speakers up tonight. I'm a fight to we see.
That Seinfeld's not familiar.
Jerry didn't know.
That song, it might have got the number one, didn't it?
Jay said number two. We just said it 30 seconds.
But are you just guessing, or are you just...
We don't guess on the show. We throw out numbers.
All right.
Kesha said, I don't just love men. I love people. It's not about a gender.
Nice.
She made a similar statement to Out magazine in 2010. Remember that?
You remember that, Doug.
When she confessed to simply liking people. Mm. I wouldn't say I'm gay or straight. I don't like labeling things anyway.
Yeah, heaven forbid. You have to be different. If you're a musical artist, you have to be different.
Asexual is this magical place to me that's between asexual and someone who's sexual.
Right. Okay.
Deep intellectual things are just my jam. All right.
Was that Kesha?
No.
It's The Bachelor. Oh, Doug, have you been watching The Bachelorette at all?
Just a little bit.
I am off it. I quit it cold turkey. I had been so angry at myself for watching it, and I've quit it cold turkey.
This is apparently one of Kevin Durant's old girlfriends.
Yeah, I saw that.
The star.
What's up, KD? What's up, Tim? Nice game one,
I've been. I've Thanks. Had to work a few Monday nights, and I've just kind of missed out on this one. I couldn't be sorrier.
Jay, can you marry me and my lover, Doug? Thanks. That's from the Vianney father-son dance chaperone.
No, I'm out of the marriage game.
I bet they're so mad at us at Vianney. These guys on the radio
get great promotion. They're getting free advertising.
Yeah, they love the kind of advertising where we talk about a father-son dance.
Jay, how are Kesha's feet? Thanks. It's from Fred Astor.
Well, I could do that real quick. You just go to WikiFeet.
Doug, WikiFeet is the site. Okay.
And you, we'll see how Kesha's feet
Couldn't
is.
They just put up anybody's feet and you say, oh, yeah, no, I guess that could be Kesha.
Yeah, how do you know?
How do you verify this? Unless it's a full body shot. And even then, it could be photoshopped.
Right.
It's hard to trust anything anymore.
Right.
Kesha's got nice feet.
She
paints them up and
Imagine
nice.
That.
Yeah.
That's all it takes.
Well, it's a start. Hopefully, she's available tomorrow night.
I don't think. Well, she may be after what happened to her with Seinfeld.
Yeah, she may want to go see Jason Aldean.
Yeah. Let me just send something to Bill for a second, then I'll be with you.
Okay.
I was watching a thing last night. I don't know if we happen to have the audio. I was going to send it to you guys. But Francesca starts eating a sandwich in the middle of an answer yesterday.
No,
a question about zone defense in the NBA.
I don't think the funniest part was the eating. It was he didn't know what he was talking about. You could tell he was more interested in the actual food. So he kept saying zone defense and they need to do that. And I think at the end he forgot what he was actually talking about.
He has 6 months left on his contract. I guess he's retiring. And he's just
playing out the string.
It's kind of like we had the 3 months we had to be under the Dan Marshall Leadership Institute. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, well, we'll just do the show and just do what, which is really what's become the show. That was the best thing that happened to the show because we just kind of just screwed off. And I feel like that's what Frances is doing. He's texting Bill, I guess, about his hole. And then he's eating a sandwich while talking NBA zone defenses, which is a popular discussion.
Huge.
That's the formula. It works.
Jennings, what's your Mount Rushmore of feet? Thanks. That's Sean Wentzville.
Just on a quick thought process, without really delving into my library, I go Katie Couric. Absolutely. 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 Don't sleep on her feet.
Okay.
And then the girl
who might be the best I've ever worked
That's
with.
That's Ariana Marie right
the
there.
The girl that was with Seal.
Heidi Klum.
Heidi Klum. Oh,
really? Is that right? What's she have going
She's
on?
She's got great feet and nice Klums.
What's a Klum?
And I would go with Julie Benz, the actress. And then
she was on the show Ed and now on Modern Family. Am I right?
Correct.
You're really thinking hard about this.
And I would go with Ariana Marie.
Oh, the best you've ever worked
best
with.
Best I've ever worked with. There's also, I should probably say, there's a lady in St. Louis that whenever she gets a pedicure or she goes to the pool, she sends me pictures of her feet and I'll just use her initials. ABB has great feet.
A Anna Benes?
No. That's A M B.
Okay.
Yes. A B B.
Now I read once that through evolution, our little toes are getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And it could be that over time we may not have a little toe anymore.
It may just be four, right?
Would you be in favor of that? Or would
interesting.
That
great question,
you?
Doug.
No, I usually like the pinky. Yeah. The
you
pinky
like that
toe.
One
I do.
Too.
And why is that?
All right.
Just because it's on the end and, you
right
know,
there
you,
on
can,
the end.
You can move it a little more than the others.
Oh, it has better versatility?
Or exactly.
Mobility?
Flexible.
Why is it so sacrilegious for the NBA to run zones on defense?
Yeah, you no, you're allowed. But the problem is you can't zone a team that shoots like that. No, because they'll skip the ball. They'll throw the skip passes, and it's just too hard to do. When you can put as many shooters as they can on the floor, you cannot zone them. It's just they're an impossible team to zone. There are teams you can zone, and zone is legal. Teams in the playoffs and in the finals use the zone very, very well. We've seen teams on numerous occasions use zone, but you cannot zone them. That's impossible.
It makes $100 million a year to eat on the air.
Number one in the nation.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I'm getting more impressed with Kesha's feet.
Really? Is that right?
The more I look at WikiFeet.
Yeah. So Seinfeld missed out.
Well, he definitely missed out. But he's got that issue about the closeness to people.
Does he? Is that well known?
I think so.
Oh,
I
didn't know that.
No, I think
I know about it with Howie Mandel
Howie
and Donald Trump, but I didn't know about Seinfeld.
Howard Stern apparently has it, too.
All right. Yeah. Well, then I guess I'm going to start having that issue.
Yeah. You take all his stuff anyway.
That's right. Doug, did you get that info on toes from one of those fake websites? That's from Stephen Wildwood, who says he's tired of it. I can picture Jay imagining the pinky toe like a little sausage and nibbling on it. Thanks. That's from Brandon in St. Charles.
Nicely done, Brandon.
What's the best toe to put like a sop in or an onion ring on?
These are great questions. You guys are really having a nice show.
I was asked last week about toe rings.
Yeah.
And I like the toe ring to either be on the first from the big toe or the one, two, the three from the big toe. I don't like it to be the middle. Middle.
But that is the middle
one. The FU toe. No. You've got the big toe.
Right.
And then I either want it on the next toe, the toe ring, or you skip the one in the middle
and
then that.
And what is the reason for this? This is fascinating to me.
Because I think the middle toe stands on its own and should be just by itself.
Stands on its own?
Yeah, it should be its own entity. And I like the toe rings. I don't think it's as skanky as it used to be. Now it's more of a...
It's more classy. You see a lot of them out at
Vegas.
At Bogey Club.
Club, absolutely.
Now, sometimes you'll see a foot where the second toe...
And that's not Bogey Hills. That's the Bogey
right.
Club.
Yep.
Sometimes the second toe is a little taller than the big toe.
And that's understandable.
You have a problem with that,
Jeff. It's always skinnier.
No, that's all right. But we resolved the issue with the toe ring on the fan page. And if you're coming tomorrow night to be involved, I would say that...
you think that'll help your cause of getting the Jason Aldean tickets?
It won't hurt it.
At TMA Live, Doug. It's Hot Shots St. Charles.
Right. Yeah.
I think we're going to start around 7 because you have to anchor.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Why don't you do a live shot? Kind of say, hey, come on out to Hot Shots St. Charles. We'll have Foot Fetish Friday.
That's about the last thing I will be doing.
You don't think that 6:22 they want you to come live?
No. Right. No, I don't think that would work out.
I think it's going to be a great crowd. I really
tomorrow night might be one of the best in the history of the show.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying. That's what they're saying.
Okay, that word is out there.
We got to imagine Brother Hebert will be there, HOF Dave, some of the G8 Summit members.
Right, some of the Goober 11.
Now, take it easy.
Plowsy's Goob 11 all day.
Hey, are you still Goob 11? What are the? Because I hear there's a bunch of factions now.
Are you kidding me? We are the faction and
Goob
11.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, look at our crew. Are you kidding me?
I mean, we got some good people.
You're Goob 11 too?
Oh, absolutely.
We're the Warriors.
I do like the Goob 11.
Yeah.
I do. Like, the people in the Goob 11, I think I know them all, and they're, like, legitimately, like, good people.
We had a great time.
Yeah. Mm. It's legitimately good people. And then Barnhart Brawler texted me yesterday to let me know he's taking a break from the show.
What? You needed to know
he's
that.
Taking a break. Is he going to rehab?
He just said, what did he say? It was a very nice text. Doug, let me read it
taking for you.
Taking
a break here. From the show, Doug.
Oh, Mike Wellington just texted me, too.
Welly. Firecracker Open's coming up June 24th at The Rock.
Let's see. Mike Wellington is the one who got me playing golf like I'm playing this year. Started out in Florida at Mike Wellington. Great people.
Good guy.
I'm telling you. He says he's laughing out loud in my car. Hashtag Toe Talk Wednesday. But Barnhart Brawler texted me. You know Barnett Brawler, don't you, Doug?
Sure, yeah. Far left. Far leftist.
Said, been taking a break from the show and stepping back a little from the fan pin.
No.
Because it's such a big part of his life.
No, but it was a compliment, he said, but I caught the very end of your third hour discussion, so went and podcast like the Dickens the whole segment.
He can't get away.
And that's the show at its best, in my opinion. Know you probably get a lot of backlash or stick to sports crap when you go there, so I like to go out of my way to give positive feedbacks on those types of segments. And that was after we had had Mike Hill of Fox Sports 1 on, and it was, I enjoyed that hour as well. And then I told him, I said, I know you like when Derek Gould's on, and kind of talk more macro on the Cardinals. I said, you'd probably enjoy that interview as well. So we kind of got into the Bill Maher thing and the Kathy Griffin thing,
sure,
which I intentionally didn't. And that Kathy Griffin thing's a different thing. I'd talk about that. But the Bill Maher thing, I consciously didn't want to talk about it because, as I said to Mike Hill, who's African-American, Fox Sports 1 guy, I said, from my standpoint, you can talk about it, but if you really want to talk about it and be honest and try to attempt to have some form of a nuanced discussion on it, there's absolutely zero upside to doing so, which sucks because I think anytime you can discuss anything, it's healthy to have communication. So anyway, that was the third hour that we're making reference to. Hey, look, everybody, the commish is on the line right now here on the Appliance Discounter phone lines, the Hall of Fame Cardinal reporter for the Post-Dispatch. Commish, good morning.
Hi, boys.
Were you in Cincinnati on September 7th, 1993 for Mark Whitten?
I was.
Yeah. How about that? We see it once again with Scooter Gnecchi. I think that Scooter's was probably a little less likely than Witten's.
Somewhat, yes. He had, everybody was excited last night that Adam Duvall and Scott Schebler, who have, I think, 30 home runs between them, that neither one was playing. Yeah, good luck on that one.
Yeah.
There's Jeanette replacing one of them. And, he had 3 home runs for the season, and then he had 4. And 4, but that's a natural deal there to hit 4 in a row like that, too.
And a couple of them were bombs. One of them to the opposite field really carried well for a little guy. You think the ball is a little bit juiced up or something? It's got to be something with the baseball this year.
Only juiced up when the Reds were playing, though.
Well, even Piscotty's home.
Using different balls, I think.
Piscotty's home run was an upper deck home run, too.
Yeah, well, that ballpark is very generous. Most times to visitors and home teams. And the Cardinals have hit a number of home runs there, many more there than in many other places, and perhaps that will start today.
Does it feel like maybe that was rock bottom that they hit last night?
Yeah, I was just thinking that, Doug. You got to work your way back from that. There can't be anything worse than that. I mean, you can't say they played poorly last night. They didn't have a chance to do anything other than, you know, Wainwright didn't give them any help. And Scooter Gennett just had one of those magical nights that the Cardinals got one run. That, again, was an issue. And they faced guys that are not going to the Hall of Fame. The guy the first night, Wojciechowski, has won just a couple games, I think. And Edelman's been all right for them, but he throws 90-91, nothing spectacular. But they are just in a mess right now, and I think you dig yourself back one at a time. Now, today, they're facing a guy they belabored his entire career in Bronson Arroyo. Now, if they lose to him, if he shuts them out, then you got some real issues.
Yeah. Well, he's still in high 70s at this point, I think.
That's his fastball, yeah.
Well, here's the question for you, Kamish, because this team or organization has seemingly been able to kind of do some patchwork to stay competitive, to keep themselves in a wild card race, and we saw what they did last year. But Are we at a point now where they're going to have to make some major decisions about the future of this club with the makeup of this team right now?
I think, Jay, at the end of the month, you look at where it is. They need another bat, and they need a bat, maybe a bigger bat than anything they have. Their pitching is what it is. Its starting pitching has been very good for the most part. The bullpen has been good at the end. Rosenthal and O have been very good. Bowman was really good for a while in the 7th and 8th. And they just have to hope that Segrist and Cecil get on track. They're paying Cecil $30 million. He's going to be around. You're going to have to use him.
Yep.
And I think the bullpen will be all right. So I think the pitching in total will be all right. The defense is going to be mediocre at best. We knew that coming out of spring training, and they've assured us that's as good as it's going to be. Now, they do have to score more runs, and more runs on one or two swings rather than wild pitches and singles and stuff like that. So I think it's a little early to make a blockbuster, but if you're still wallowing 3 weeks from now, at the end of June, then you got to go get somebody. And more teams will be available to deal, I think, by that point, too. Everybody kind of thinks they're still alive right now. But 3 weeks from now, you won't have that many teams thinking that.
And people now are looking around for somebody to blame. It's got to be somebody's fault. And when you look at the offense not producing, people go, wow, must be the hitting coach. Must be John Mabry. Do you notice anybody doing anything differently, a different approach, or any reason at all why people like Carpenter and Fowler are having career-worst seasons?
I don't. I mean, Fowler probably is trying to justify the money that he was given. And that's natural for anybody that gets a big contract like that. He's been better lately. Carpenter, I that's a mystery to me. He's down, what is he, 210 now, 212? That's horrible.
209.
209, and he's not hitting for power anymore. When's the last home run that he had?
Yeah.
And he takes a lot on himself, too, because he's like the veteran leader of this club other than Molina right now. In the blame game, I always blame the players rather than the head of the staff. The general manager can make changes. The manager plays the guys he has, and the guys that are there have to play their best, and they're not playing their best. They're the ones that control whether they're any good or not. Matheny can only do so much. Now, he made, I think, a good move last night. He gave up an out for a run. They thought that was a pretty good idea. They're already down one, and they got a free out handed to him by the umpires, which they challenged and took it away. And then he walks the guy, and there's a grand slam. So it looked like a bad move, but it was a good move at the time.
Yeah. If they were to make a change for this bat, you wonder what position would it be? Because Jerko is the one guy on the team that's hitting. Carpenter, you've got signed long term. You're probably not going to get a big bat in the middle infield. Fowler's there for several years. Piscotty, left field, Piscotty or Pham, is that where you'd go? You're looking for a corner outfielder?
I think you get the best bat you can, and then you work around that. You may have to trade one of the guys you just mentioned to get that bat. You're going to have to give away young pitching for sure, and maybe more young pitching than they want to. And how big is the bat? You know, do you want to get a guy that's at the end of his career, or a guy who's kind of in the middle of his career but playing for a crappy team? I'm sure Mo is going through all these scenarios now, but this club does not have enough good players to contend for a title.
Now, I would think one of their big trade chips is Carson Kelly. I know you don't want to get rid of him, but if you've got Molina signed for another 3 years after this, you're also not going to keep your best prospect in AAA for 3 years. You think that's a chip we could see played?
You never ignore the possibilities. I thought about that the other day, too. That would be a really bold move. That would have to be almost a camera-ready hitter coming the other way. I mean, Carson Kelly could start for two-thirds of the team. Let's say half the team's in the big leagues right now, including the one they just played last night, and maybe four or five others in the National League. So I'd hate to do that, but nothing's off the table. You got Jack Flaherty, you got Reyes. They won't trade for him because he's injured right now, but that's the kind of guy that people want. Alcantara, Luke Weaver's a prospect. They've got a lot of pitching prospects. I'm sure they're going to have to part with something. But Carson Kelly, you know, what if Molina got hurt? And then you have nothing if you don't have Carson Kelly.
But if he doesn't get hurt, Kelly's on the bench for 3.5 years.
There's a way that they can gradually wean Kelly into more time. Molina could play some first base, keep his presence in the lineup. He's still a good hitter. And there's a way to get around that. Molina's not going to catch 140 games for three more years.
No. Well, we'll see. It almost always works out where you got to trade somebody that you really don't want to trade if you're going to get somebody that's going to be a difference maker.
Well, sure. I mean, even a guy like Carpenter, you think is a guy who's going to be here for a long time. Well, maybe he'd have to be involved in a deal like that. You never know.
Yeah. Well, so do you have any hope at all? Is there any way you see, well, things are going to turn around, they might still be in it, or are you just should we just kind of take it for what it is and think this is going to be one of those years?
Well, they couldn't have played any worse, and they're 3.5 games out, you know?
Yeah,
that's what's crazy.
I thought this would be a good stretch for them playing the Reds and Phillies, and I still think so. The Bronson Arroyo versus Lance Lynn looks like an overmatch the Cardinals' way, but then so did Martinez and Wojciechowski the other night.
Yeah.
I think the Cardinals can win these next two, and the Phillies, even though they have suddenly started playing well. They won four in a row now are coming in. You've got six games with them in the next 2 weeks. You should beat them. And you always beat the Brewers, even though they're a contending team right now. The Cardinals always beat them. So that's, by the end of next week, you could be thinking, well, they're at 500 again and on the way up. Now, that's what I thought a couple days ago, too, I must say, and I've been wrong so far.
Rick Hummel's our guest here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Kamish, just playing out the hand from the other side of things. Let's say things don't turn around, and the Cardinals are in a really rare position for the organization, especially in recent history, that they're out of it and would be looking at the potential of selling as opposed to buying. Who would be players that, A, other organizations would be interested in, B, realistically, the Cardinals could or would part with?
I think the biggest chip from the other side, Tim, would be Lance Lynn. If the Cardinals don't think they can sign him, or Lynn doesn't want to sign with him, he does want to resign with him, maybe he won't like the offer. And he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. That's the kind of guy that other teams would at least rent for a couple of months. You wouldn't get as much for a rental player as you would for a guy who's still got some years left on his contract. Mm-hmm. But he's at the top of the list there. I think Carpenter's got to be in that list. He's still a quality player, but he's not playing like it right now. Peralta doesn't count. He'll probably get released in a while here. Tommy Pham may have some interest to teams. As far as the rest of the rotation, I don't think so. Leak is signed for a long time, and you don't want to trade Martinez, and Wainwright's not going anywhere, and Reyes is not going anywhere. Waka could be of interest to some teams. So those people, and then down on the farm, of course, there's all kinds of possibilities there. But the guys who are here, those are the ones I would think, the ones I just mentioned there. I think Jerko would have some interest to some teams, but I think you've got him signed to a pretty good contract here, and he's your best player.
You think they're going to have to decide who's the second baseman between DeJong and Wong?
Well, I think Wong is the second baseman when he's healthy. They have to decide whether DeJong should be kept up here or not when Wong is back. And the way he's been playing, he's playing every day, every inning. It looks like he will be. I mean, because there's got to be a guy that has to go Friday, let's say, when Wong comes off the list. And all signs point to Peralta somehow, unless they choose to finally not go to 13 pitchers. Their 12th and 13th pitchers got in the game last night, but neither one of them again hadn't pitched for 10 days since they brought him up, and he did okay except when Scooter Gennett was batting, and Brebbia has been okay, and he did okay unless Scooter Gennett was batting. So I don't think they need 13 pitchers. I would keep another position player.
What about the lack of fundamentals or decision making? Who do you blame that on? Because these guys have been taught from little league ball to select ball to high school to college to minors. Is it just a lack of focus? Because to me, it's hard to just say, oh, the manager or this guy, when the guys are making the mistakes.
I think sometimes they're trying to make chicken salad out of chicken feathers.
Yeah.
Some of these guys, if you want to play an aggressive style of ball, some of the players they have aren't fast enough to do that. You can't just steal a base because you think you can. Molina can do it because he's crafty, but he knows when to run and how far he can run. But these other guys are just trying to make something happen, including the third base coach, and you're trying to score runs. You haven't been scoring any runs. You're trying to make a play happen, and they don't have the ability to make it happen. So they were better off last year settling for their home run or nothing approach. At least they were over 500 playing that way, and they won more games playing that way. And they tried to go back to old Cardinal-style fundamental ball, but they don't have Cardinal-style players right now.
Yeah, you talk about the third base coach. Chris Maloney's another one who's getting a lot of heat. I see on social media, half the time they don't look at him anyway, so I don't know how you blame the third base coach all the time.
Well, there was one the other night, I don't know, if he saw DeJong breaking back to the bag on that ball that was hit to left field, once he took a step or two back, he wasn't going to make it home. But I admire the guy for trying to get a run somehow or other. And DeJong wasn't out by 50 feet at home. Duval made a nice throw to get him. But it was a bad play. And Piscotty made a bad play on the hit and run trying to go to third on a ball that was right in front of him. That was a terrible play.
Remember when they got off to that horrible 3-9 start? Both Matheny and Mazalok were in the dugout saying, "You know, this is going to change. This is not the way it's going to be." You think it's time for another one of those meetings where they announce that things are going to be different?
Well, Mike says that every night, pretty much.
Now. He does. He was saying it last night for sure.
I guess that's true.
I think it starts. If it's going to start, it's got to start today. There's a beatable pitcher there, and you've got one of your better guys pitching, although Lynn hasn't been quite as good since he threw those 123 or four pitches 3 or 4 starts ago. So that might have been an error there in pitching him that long. But I think it starts now, and I say by the end of the month, if you're still wallowing like this, then heads will roll.
So it could be a long, long summer in St. Louis.
Well, as long as the Central Division plays like the Central Division, although the Cubs are now playing like the Cubs, the rest of the division is playing like the division, but the Cubs are playing like the Cubs, and they could run off to a pretty good sized lead here, where you're just trying to see what other second place teams are doing. But I think there's 104 games. What do you know? 100? Where are we now? 106 games to go. That's a long time.
Yep. Commission, just following up on the if they're still playing like this in a month, heads will roll. Comment. Where do you think the targets would be for parting ways?
Well, I think you would have a trade made. You might have a coaching. Sometimes they make the manager make coaching changes just to shake things up a little bit. Maybe the hitting coach duo could be in trouble if they're not scoring still by that point. Even though the hitting coaches can't hold your hand when they go to home plate. I would like to see, by the way, a hitting coach get a chance to go up and talk to the hitter before an at bat, like the pitching coach does to the pitcher.
Yeah.
You know, once in a while, that would make sense to me, I think. But nonetheless, I would see a big trade and a coaching change both by the end of the month if nothing has improved much from where we are now.
Rick Hummel with us here every Wednesday on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, giving us his assessment of the Cardinals as they are in the midst of a 5-game losing streak. Lance Lynn, Bronson Arroyo tonight at the Great American Ballpark. Commish, always appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thank you, guys.
Rick Hummel with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Some rather bold for Rick Hummel.
Especially at the end.
From him.
At the end when he just kind of said, and he didn't mean at the top, but he did say coaching change and player change if things do not get better by end of the month.
Yeah, I would think that's reasonable. I mean, that's been the past. That's what happens on teams that struggle and are out of the...
You got to wonder a little bit how different a year this is for Mike Matheny. Not that last year wasn't the start of a different type of team that he was managing, but you wonder his mindset right now.
It's pretty a hopeless feeling, I would think, for a manager when your guys don't hit.
Yeah.
You can't do anything when it's, you know, one guy after the next striking out or not doing much of anything. They've lost the middle of the order in the last few years, and it's a helpless feeling, I'm sure, when you just can't score your way out of defensive problems or base running mistakes. They don't hardly ever anymore have that game where they score 6, 7, 8 runs and can make up for a bad pitching or a couple mistakes.
Your thoughts on what Rick Hummel had to say? 855 Cub Talk, 855-282-8255. Text in, call in the Appliance Discounter phone lines. The Appliance Discounters, great sponsors of this program and have been with us for years. New location in South County. They're all over the St. Louis area. Online at theappliancediscounters.com, 855-282-8255. It is the 8 o'clock hour, brought to you by Sildenafil, the same active ingredient, Viagra, offering the same results but with massive savings. To learn more, call Goldsmith Beta Center Pharmacy at 314-432-5020. Go online at goldsmithmcp.com. He said Lance Lynn would be the biggest trade chip, in his opinion, considering his contract status. Also mentioned Matt Carpenter. And
you'd certainly be trading him at a low, you know, low value.
True.
And also Tommy Pham, potentially. You would have to think Sungwan Oh would be in the mix.
Washington needs a closer.
Yeah. I feel like Herrera is like the obvious match there, you know.
The Royals closer?
Yeah, but the American League Central is also a hand job factory. The difference is, unlike the National League Central, where it's at least supposed that the 2017 National League Central champion is predetermined, like the 2016 Democratic presidential nominee over in the American League Central. It's not necessarily thought that way. The Twins and Tom Kelly. We talked about Tom Kelly and what he's doing with
it. He hasn't managed there for a long time.
Kent Herbeck, what they're doing over there.
Kent.
They even went through Ron Gardenhire between Tom Kelly and Paul Molitor.
Tim, I have a work meeting and I'll be missing the 9 o'clock hour. Thanks. That's from Honey Bear Sappington.
Thank you, Honey Bear.
It's good that the listeners now alert us when they can't listen.
Jay, my wife hates feet. She never listens to the show. And of course, she's stuck in the car with me this morning having to listen to it. Thanks. It's from the Potent Potable.
And I understand wholeheartedly, as this has become something for people that I do.
It's not the, you're not looking for your personal gratitude.
No, absolutely not. That's what the Candy Crush
is there
for. It's
a community service.
And there we have run up against gals that just don't like their feet, and I understand that.
Really? Can you give us some names? Anybody that we would be familiar with, that Iggy would be familiar with, somebody that we would know?
Laura Hediger from Channel 4.
Did we stay out of the
Big
Channel 4 realm?
Doug's Big Channel. She's friends with Larry Nickel. She came in studio one time. You were there, right, Plowsy? Yeah.
Show is this?
Which studio?
Oh, something that they just threw
the
on in between.
Thing?
No, it was right after the woman before.
Me, Jay, and Joey D.
Yeah, like a week before Plowsy got whacked for no reason and changed his life for the better. And I said, Laura, how do you feel about your feet? She goes, I don't like them. I said, well, I do.
Wow, was that the end of the conversation?
Yeah, that was the end. Yeah.
Usually
when they say they don't like their feet, it's hard to kind of get them going again.
Well, I would think so. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you another one was Bonnie Rotten.
Oh, yeah.
Bonnie Rotten hated
friend
her
of the
feet.
Show.
Yeah. And she's got decent feet.
I don't know if she hated her feet. She just wasn't into
foot play.
Hot foot play.
Mm-hmm.
She had her morals were just too darn high.
It's sweet
for you
coffee.
To look at her feet.
Right, yeah. She'll take something everywhere, but no feet play. Right.
Prude.
Right. Yep. Prude.
Nope.
So anybody that wants to show tomorrow night for the Jason Aldean tickets and the Cardinal tickets, it's going to be very low key.
Doug, it's Hot Shots. Yeah. St. Charles, the sponsor of the email today, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. A hell of an email of the month competition already underway. Because you do have Plops looking for 5 months in a row, but the Dan Marshall Leadership Institute has indicated he is going to play this event, and that's kind of
big.
That's kind of dangerous, you know. Jennings, it's like the Dean and DeLuca,
in
that it had a nice field, and people start ratcheting up their game.
You saw Jason Duffner, no question about Iggy's boy. He shot 77,
War Eagle,
77 in the third round. It didn't faze him. He rubbed it right off. He stood in the winner's circle Sunday evening.
Yes, he did. Indeed, he did.
Mm. Junior, feet are big at the key parties my wife and I attend. That's from the Swing Haven board member.
Mm. We were at Swing Haven just Monday.
That's right. I didn't see any pineapples.
Awful lot of swinging going on in the homes there, apparently.
No, it's
white rocks for the landscape.
Oh, is that what it is?
Sure.
I thought it was pineapples.
Yeah, I always thought it was the pineapples, too.
Oh, maybe it's both.
I think it's for it's an option for people that don't like necessary decor pieces, whether it be out in the yard or out on the porch. Maybe somebody that likes a more traditional look to their exterior of their home.
Right.
That's why you get the white rock. You know, somebody with maybe like a bungalow.
A bungalow.
Or something like that.
Absolutely.
Something, you know, a little classic. You can put a little pineapple out there and it'd go with the decor of, you know, the historic brick and things like that. But
Doug, you follow?
But the pineapple says that there are swingers there.
Ready to go, yeah.
And ready, not just there, but ready
to
go.
No, they're anxious.
Bags are packed.
And I think at the supermarket where the kids usually sit, if you got a couple of apples there, that's the pineapples there. That's huge.
Yeah,
right.
That means, hey.
Now, that I didn't understand. If you go to the grocery store and you see somebody pick up a pineapple,
not just pick it up, but instead of putting it in the cart, putting it where the baby sits.
Yeah.
Oh.
It says,
the other shoppers know.
Hey, we're ready.
Yeah, game
exactly.
on. Game on.
All right.
I was thinking because these guys I played with, Jennings, we shipped it as you saw.
I saw a nice 19
under par. Smitty didn't think I really would contribute that much. I said I contributed 3 of the 53 shots, and he thought that was high.
That was
he thought that was high. He
well, this
I
is from a guy who is lucky to break an egg. So,
oh, is that right?
Yeah, he can't beat Plowsy.
So we're out there and we're playing, and I'm playing with some guys who are outstanding golfers, and they're saying, "We hear you talk about the situation here."
Yeah.
It is accurate. It's not exaggerated. And then they were telling me about the locales where it all goes down, and I feel like we need to send Iggy and the Plow Red to go undercover a couple of nights. Plow Red, would you be up for that? To hang out at Masa's and see what the word is.
Oh, my God. It's great. I have, like, a perfect backpack for it that can fit
Why do you need a backpack?
Yeah, you need a backpack.
You got to bring toys.
Give me an overnight thing. And you may potentially, you know, binoculars.
Right.
Camera, for sure, for the footage. You need your lavalier mics for, you know.
The lobs!
You need voiceover work,
right.
You know, as you're, you know, kind of hunting your prey.
Now, see, Iggy will not have backpack. It'll just be Iggy.
Yep. Iggy, have you ever been to Moss's or the Blue Sky Cafe or a White Rock home or a pineapple decorated home?
No. At Hedo, there's signs. If you're walking by the rooms,
come right in.
There's two floors to Hedo, upstairs and downstairs. If you're walking by, if the door is just a little bit ajar, they want you to watch. If the door is all the way open, they want you to come on in.
Are these rules posted somewhere?
You know, it's all the way open. Hey, come on in. But it's just ajar a little bit. They want you to stop and watch them having
but
sex.
But not participate.
No, they just
if
want
the door
you
is wide
outside.
Open, they want you to join.
Come on in. If the door is just open a little bit, they want you to watch. And their exhibitionist just stand by the door and watch us.
A lot of codes.
Don't you run the risk of going into the room and they think they're being robbed and they shoot you?
That's just stupid.
It isn't. You can't walk into someone else's hotel room.
This is not the Marriott in Chicago. This is hedonism.
These are other guests. They're not walking into your room and they have a gun right by the bed while they're banging and shoot you.
Well, I'd be afraid to walk in a lot of hotel rooms, I think.
Well, not Hedo.
No.
They're not like other hotels.
No, quite different.
You ever walked into a Marriott and see two people banging in the hallway with the door open? Come on in. No.
No, they might shoot me.
Plowboy, I live a stone's throw from Masa's. You can crash at my house when you go. Thanks, that comes from Grandpa's caddy.
Now, you have to go with a gal, though. You can't go as a single.
Oh, we're just going to investigate. We're not.
Yeah, you guys are going out there for a nice dinner on a Saturday night, and then you happen to see what the word is. And Jennings, I hear tell from these guys, outstanding golfers, Doug, again, 19 under par.
19, champion. Champion.
Champion, thank you. Right. That at 9 o'clock, that's when the word is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, we'll go out there, and we'll hang out, and we'll put our ears to the grindstone, see what we can hear.
You need a
nose or ears to the grindstone?
I want
to
hear. So.
Could we get a gal to go with him? I wonder.
Who would we get? Janie the lesbian.
Well, that would be a great play.
And maybe she could bring the Viking queen.
Yep.
Yeah, we'd each have a date, Ballsy.
Yep. This lesbian is starting to work out, Doug. Yeah. Might be a fun little piece on Sports Sunday
if you guys get slow with the birds.
Yeah. We might have time. I got to fill like 2 minutes Sunday. So
if he wants to text in, I'm not gonna out him. If he wants to text in.
Who's this?
I'm not going to give a name. But
well, then how does he know?
Mr. Smith?
Well, on the fan page the other day, somebody posted a picture of their backyard and their pool, and their entire backyard is filled in with 10 tons of white rock.
Wait a minute.
How do you know it's
Wait a minute.
If that gentleman would like to text in. And
do I know this gentleman?
I think so.
Okay.
He was kind.
Doug, they're speaking in codes. I don't know what's going on.
Why do you do that? Why do you speak in code?
Mm-hmm. Well, you said it was pineapple or white rock. This house, everything around the pool,
he's
even
rock.
With the trees, is covered in 10 tons of white rock.
Is his door slightly open?
It'd be great if it was.
Oh, so you like what's doing?
If I believe we're on the same wavelength, no question.
Wow, I want to know what the word is. Doug, I want to know what the word is.
What's the word?
I don't know. That's why I want to know.
Okay.
Well, we can't get to,
So FCC. This is an off-air situation.
FCC. Well,
unless he texts in, he'll say, Iggy's talking about me.
Right.
Then we can bring it up.
Potent potable? You already texted in.
No.
Not potent potable.
No.
Is it Injun Joe's Cave Ride Magic Man?
No.
He says Iggy's hotel room has a sign that says trespassers will be violated.
What a sick man he is.
Iggy, my wife and I are going down to Punta Cana this month. Any good pickup lines for getting another couple? That's from the Swing Haven board member.
No, that's a good question.
Well, I'm not a swinger, but I see what happens down there. Just very polite. If you see a couple, you don't know they're swingers or not. All you can do is ask. And if you go up and you...
Now, you say you're not a swinger, but you've been involved...
In a three-way.
Yes. Yeah. All right.
Is there a code question you ask so you don't look like a complete idiot to people who aren't swingers?
No, it happens all the time at Hedo. You'll see people come up and they'll start talking to another couple.
Yeah.
And they'll say, you know, I don't know if you're into the lifestyle. And they're either going to say yes or they're going to say no. If they say no, then they just very politely say sorry.
So there are people who go to hedonism just for a nice family vacation?
Well, but they're not into swinging.
I got to understand.
They don't mind hanging out naked. They like the company. It's fun, the drinking, hanging out with a bunch of fun people. But they're not into the lifestyle, so they're not out there banging on a raft or you have to hop over them on your way to the room because they're in the middle of the grass.
All right.
Which happened to me a couple of times.
So the question is, are you into the lifestyle?
The lifestyle.
And people know what that means.
That's it. And a lot of times you'll know. They'll hook up online at the Hedo, in the Hedo website or the Hedo chat room. Who's going, who's in the lifestyle. And by the time they get there, they all know who wants to hook up and who doesn't.
They have a look to them, too, some of those skanks.
Now, there's a there's a text that I just received identifying the person with the white rocks, and I actually know them.
Yes, you do.
The audience knows them.
They should.
I know that, but I didn't know if I wanted to.
Well, no, I'm not saying you should say, but now that I see the name... I don't know. I don't know if they want. I didn't know. This. I mean, God bless them.
Initials, please.
No, I can't. I can't do that. I got to respect it.
Got to be careful.
Yeah, but I didn't know this. Yeah.
I don't think they are, but just a lot of white rocks.
Yeah, that's the crime that they have committed is they have a pool with some white rocks around it, and we're about to out them.
That's a tell. That's a tell.
Now on the pineapple thing, I wasn't for sure. With apartment complexes, right. Some of them are shared balconies. Mm-hmm. Some of them are very narrow, like hallway. How exactly, if you're maybe in a townhome or something like that.
A lot of listeners, Doug, have townhomes.
Where there's four entranceways to four different apartments.
Right. Where do you go?
Yeah, where do you put the pineapple? You don't want to put it in your walkway. What if there's no ledge? And if you put it on the shared balcony, you kind of... You know, it's a roll of the dice.
Maybe it's pineapple sticker on the window?
Actually, that's a good idea.
Okay. Well, we solved that easily enough.
Start selling those in inside STL.com. Pineapple sticker.
Doug, this 8 o'clock hour brought to you by Sildenafil, the same active ingredient Viagra, offering the same results but with massive savings. To learn more, call Goldsmith MediCenter Pharmacy at 314-432-5020 or online at goldsmithmcp.com. Send your emails in for the Hot Shots email today, a free Lemmings lunch from Hot Shots. And join us tomorrow night at Hot Shots St. Charles for TMA Live, presented by Bud Select in a Foot Fetish Friday for the ages, they're saying. Yep. For the ages, they're saying. Mm-hmm. The Lemmings Gong is brought to you by Danny Schwartz Insurance Agency. And when the cat is on the road and Jennings is in, it's brought to you by Four Seasons Penske Truck Rental. Doug, just look for the big gold trucks. Okay. All right. It's 9 o'clock hour about to start. We'll have a big Hot Shots email of the day for you. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning.